quartz in that thing.
The what?
The quartz.
I thought you already put the thing up.
That's in this one, though.
Well, on the here. Second table. Unless you moved it. Did you move it? Did you move it? The everlasting God. Over here. Oh, yes. Won't go weary. Oh, yes. Like eagles. All right. Yes. Welcome on Gospel Light Society. Welcome on BlackChristianNews.com, BCNN1.com. Welcome on DanielWhiteIII.com. Welcome on The Big Channel. So glad to be with you again today. Second time with you today by the grace of God. Welcome on Gospel Light Society International.com. Welcome on BlackChristianNews.com, BCNN1.com. Welcome on DanielWhiteIII.com. Welcome on our new channel, The Big. So glad to have you again today for the second time. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We're back, and we're so glad to see you back. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as I preach in your hearing once again We are in the midst of the great falling away. Part 2. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1. Pardon me. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. And by the way, that is going to be a great day to be gathered unto our Lord and Savior. And I want you to know that I, for one, a wretched, wicked sinner, Daniel White III, I am very grateful and very thankful that God in his mercy saved my soul. I was the worst human being ever before God saved my soul, December the 19th, 1979. And so I was not looking for God. I was looking for fat, P-H-A-T women all of the time, and looking for the next party and the next jam, boogie, boogie session. I was not looking for God, but God was looking for me. And he allowed me to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ down in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And then a few days later, I heard it again in my dorm room from one of those same church members who showed me for the first time in my life what the Bible has to say about the gospel through the Romans road, and I got saved December the 19th, 1979 at around 8:30 at night, and I have never been the same since then. That's over 43 years ago. So I am very grateful for salvation, and I'm very grateful for the fact that one day we'll be gathered to him, our Savior. And if you're saved and born again, you ought to be grateful too. And we all who are saved and born again ought to be living for him in these last and evil days. Verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. Don't let anybody fool you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Shall we pray? Holy Father God, thank you for the earlier service today. Thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. And Holy Father God, I pray now that you would grant me afresh and anew your energy, your strength, your unction, your anointing to pray, to read your holy word, and preach your holy word as only you can do it through a human being. My faith looks up to you. I pray based upon your holy word. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon all of us who are saved and born again. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Cleanse us through the precious blood of Christ and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. And Holy Father God, prepare us and help us to serve you well. I also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ against my enemies, the devil, and even my wife, Marika White, who allows the devil to use her, and other enemies who attempt to hinder the services through technology and otherwise. And Lord, you know who they are. We're under constant attack because of the preaching of your holy gospel and the preaching of your holy word. And I pray that you will stand with us, continue to stand with us, and support us. And Holy Father God, place upon us the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Christ as we warfare for your glory, praise, and honor, and for your kingdom. Save that soul that is near as hell. Reclaim the backslidden. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a great servant of the Lord, who was a pastor of pastors, uniquely gifted to break down the understanding of the Word of God and to help people, including pastors, to understand the Word of God. There's some men who are gifted to do that. And I know some of you heard some of this on yesterday, but the devil, through, I believe, some human beings, caused some technology problems for us on yesterday. As Paul said, in one of these Thessalonian books, Satan did hinder us. Now, you're not supposed to say that. When you're around the prosperity gospel people who believe that they almost believe that Satan does not exist, that Satan does not try to hinder us, and he does. But that's okay. I'm committed to preaching the Word of God if I have to preach it over. And as I was saying again, Dr. Wiersbe was a pastor of pastors. And I recall many years ago, before he became well known and a published author, his commentaries were so popular. When they were printing them on a they used to call them mimeograph machines. And then they would bind it with a string and two blue cardboard kind of cover things. And they would ship it out from the church. And somehow someone gave me a copy. And it was a blessing. And then the rest is history. But Dr. Wiersbe said, he's in heaven now, by the way, and that's where you should want to go. Sin is not worth going to hell and missing heaven. And Dr. Wiersbe said accurately, and he warned with a note of humor, but it's very important that you get this. He said, the purpose of Bible prophecy, the preaching on the second coming of Christ and the events that lead up to it, is not for us to make a calendar, but to build character. Did you get that? It is not for us to make a calendar, but to build character. If Bible prophecy does not make you holy, I don't know what will. I didn't say perfect. I said a saint, holy. Paul emphasized this fact in both of his Thessalonian letters. And our Lord warned us not to set dates for his second coming. He warned us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42. Dr. Wiersbe said, date setters are usually upsetters. And he is so right. And that is exactly what happened in the Thessalonican assembly or church. And so I'm reminded of a radio station out of California that my family and I, 99% of the radio station was great. They had good shows that we enjoyed, even sometimes while we were lying down going to bed. And those of you Christians all across this country who have gone to sleep on Christian radio, you know what I'm talking about. And during that time, we did not have a television in the house. My children, by the way, were not raised on television, and to this day, they don't like television that much. And they're grown now. They can have all of the television they want. So we lean heavily on Christian radio. And this radio station out of California was just wonderful, 99% of the time. But the 1% was terrible. The owner of the radio station would come on every now and then talking about Jesus was going to come on this date at this time. Get ready. I don't know where he got that from. Evidently he got it from the devil, because Jesus told all of us not to try to predict the time he's going to come. But he did it with gusto, and every time he did it, he failed. He died as a failure in that area. I don't know if the radio station is still going on, because after that, we stopped listening. They lost credibility with us and many others. God does not want us to be concerned about making a calendar. God wants us to be concerned about changing our character. And so today I am talking about the great apostasy of the church. I'm talking about the fact that we're in the middle of the great apostasy. We're in the middle of the great falling away. Pardon me. Dr. John MacArthur, a great prophet and man of God, said no one sets out to become an apostate. It's never the result of one abrupt, drastic turn away from the Lord. It's not a sudden thing. He said instead, apostasy, falling away from Christ, falling away from the fundamentals of the faith, falling away from God, is most often the product of a pattern of sinful behavior and compromises that harden the hearts of so-called Christians and gradually steer a professing believer away from biblical truth. And then Dr. John MacArthur said, all false teachers, all purveyors of false religion, are the enemies of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. Andy Stanley is an enemy of Christ. Conway Edwards is an enemy of Christ. The sexy dentist, sexy teeth dentist. I forget his name. What is his name? Dr. Harrison is an enemy of Christ. Dr. Field Harrison of the now defunct Amen Church. Why is it defunct? Because Dr. Harrison, Dr. Field Harrison, medical doctor, not theological doctor, preached in favor of the abomination of sodomy and homosexuality, and then said it was blasphemy for a preacher to preach against sodomy, homosexuality, and transgenderism. And the people in the church got up and started walking out, and evidently they walked out permanently because that church is now closed, is now defunct. Dr. John MacArthur said, all false teachers, all purveyors of false religion, are the enemies of Jesus Christ and the enemies of the truth and the enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the enemies of all souls. And then Dr. John MacArthur, the great prophet, said, a no repentance gospel, a no holiness gospel, a no submission gospel, that is submission to God and to the authorities that God place over people, a no transformation gospel is the devil's lie to give false security to damned people who are on their way to hell. So for the protection of the church from the false teaching agents of Satan, the New Testament is crystal clear on how you can determine whether one is a true believer in Jesus Christ. True Christians are transformed people, and their new life is very different than their former life. That's the mark. Thank you for my amens and support on the big. So glad to have you. Make no mistake about it. Born again people have new life in Christ. Whereas before, they were not convicted of their sin. They were not bothered by sin. Those of you who are saved, do you remember a time like that in your life? I know I remember. Before I got saved, I was not bothered by sin. I thought you were crazy because you were not sinning with me. I thought you were a punk if you were not getting those women and having sex with them. I never heard of the word fornication in my life. Raised up in church. Probably because everybody in the church and the preachers and deacons too were committing fornication and adultery and everything else. That's why I never heard it, I guess. I never heard of fornication until I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. Sin didn't bother me. The worst kinds of sins didn't bother me. Having sex with multiple women at one time and all of that. Running those women. Having sex 3 and 4 times a day, that didn't bother me. In fact, I thought you were in sin for not sinning sinning with me. I thought something was wrong with you. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? Why he's not running after these women with me? We couldn't be buddies if you didn't have a girlfriend or two or three. And it didn't bother me at all, getting some Boone's Farm and getting drunk and having sex and going to the club. We didn't go to the club until 1 or 2 in the morning. listening to crazy songs like Flashlight, Confunction, The Emotions. Some of you don't know music because you don't know anything about The Emotions. You don't know anything about Confunction. You don't know anything about Boots' Rubber Band. You don't know anything about Parliament. We were in the club singing Flashlight with our little... We didn't have a cell phone back then, but we had a flashlight. Little flashlight you get from the little 7-Eleven store. And they came out. Cool in the Gang. You don't know anything about real music, you people. And we partied until 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. It didn't bother me at all. I thought that was what you were supposed to do. See? But when you get saved and born again, an evil thought will bother you. Oh yes, it will. you don't even want to have an evil thought. You don't want to even lust at anything. You might even see something out of the corner of your eye, you turn away from it, and you'll hear a voice saying you don't need to look at that. And Dr. Charles Stanley told a story about people who say, well, sometimes I feel like lusting after something. And Dr. Charles Stanley said, you choose to lust after it. You don't have to look at it. It's your choice. See, that's why you're going to be held responsible before God Almighty one day. You're going to stand before God in judgment. Yes, you are, and yes, you is. That's for real. Bad English, but it's true. And so, my beloved, understand that ye must be born again. You must be saved to go to heaven. And your life will change. It may not change as fast as mine did. I had an Apostle Paul type conversion because God had a plan for my life to preach the gospel, which, by the way, I have witnesses when I was lost who heard me say, I'm going to drive the bus to hell. Because I was all about getting those women and partying. Let's go. They heard me say that on the school bus. I said, I'm going to drive the bus to hell. Now, you know you got to be crazy. Out of your mind. My dad was a preacher. I bore his name. I'm proud of bearing his name now, but I was not proud of it then because I wanted to be cool. He was well known. He was on television. Everybody who knew him knew me. And I told my girlfriends and my friends who used to joke every now and then. They didn't do it too much after I told them. I said I would never be a preacher like my dad. Never. I hated my dad for no reason. My dad never hit me. My dad never chastised me. But I hated his guts for no reason other than the fact the man was too loving. I had the greatest father in the community for one main reason. He stayed with my mother. And even though she was not a good wife and not a good mother, he stayed with her. He stayed with the marriage. Probably because he didn't have a father. I don't know. And he loved her and he loved his children. He loved other people and he loved everybody too much because he let us get away with murder. But I cursed and swore to my friends that I would never be a preacher. That's a fact. I told my girlfriends that. I told my buddies that. Do you know I started preaching before my dad died? One of the greatest gifts I ever gave my dad was that I started preaching. He was shocked and in awe and was my greatest fan. He was just in awe of the fact that I was preaching all around the world. A boy who used to hate his guts. And I apologized to my dad. I thank God he lived long enough for me to apologize for hating him for no reason. And I repeated some of the things that he did to show love towards me, even though I hated him. And And I've been preaching now for over 43 years. In fact, I have preached more and I have preached longer than my dad. That's what God will do for you and do in you. Your life will change if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into your heart. Dr. Guzik said, signs marking the coming day, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. For that day will not come until this happens. Paul will not describe events which precede the rapture, but events that are concrete evidence of the great tribulation, the day of Christ. In this sense, one cannot be certain the day of Christ, the great tribulation, has come unless these signs are present. This phrase is not, as some scholars debate it, in the original text, but is very appropriately added. Dr. Alford says of the phrase, for that day will not come, so the authorized King James Version supplies it rightly. There does not seem to have been any intention on the part of the apostle to fill up the blank space. It supplies itself in the reader's mind. Unless the falling away comes first, that is the apostasy of the church, the falling away of believers. The ancient Greek wording for falling away indicates a rebellion or a departure, and that's what is happening in the church and outside of the church. And by the way, don't be shocked at the falling away of the world if the church has fallen away. Bible scholars debate if it were, or rather Bible scholars debate if it refers to an apostasy among those who once followed God and once followed Jesus, or a general worldwide rebellion. In fact, Paul may have both in mind when he wrote this, because there is evidence of each in the end times. And why not? Why not? If the church falls away, and that is exactly what has happened, we're in the middle of it, maybe on the tail end of it. Did you hear me? You know the world's going to fall away. And this has happened. The government who used to lean on the church and lean on the church for guidance, the world who looked to the church for guidance on moral issues, they don't anymore. Because they know that the church has imploded. God still has his 7,000. God still has his remnant church. God still has his faithful few. I thank God that I believe I'm a part of that group. I'm here preaching today. Twice. You know why? Because I still believe in God. I still believe in Jesus Christ. I still believe in the Holy Spirit. I still believe the Bible. as I did over 43 years ago. And I'm going to share more with you from the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll share this with you hopefully next time. Verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy, rather 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. I'll share more with you from these passages on next time, plus the book of Matthew. But to wrap up this message today, nevertheless, Dr. Guzik said, Paul's point is clear. You are worried that we are in the great tribulation and that you missed the rapture. But you can know that we are not in the great tribulation because we have not yet seen the falling away of the church, the great rebellion, the great departure that comes first. And there are many modern day pastors, the prosperity gospel pastors, the woke pastors, who they're not going to preach on this. They're not going to deal with this. They don't agree that we're living in the great falling away. Why? Because they want everybody to think everything is hunky-dory and happy and dandy when it's not. These are the false preachers that the Bible predicted would come along and cry peace and safety when is total destruction upon us and on us and is coming. Okay? These are false prophets. They have joined, listen to me very carefully, and then I'm going to close. They have joined the world in this charade in trying to make everybody, and they have joined the government to make everybody think everything is all right. And some of us are experiencing hell right now. Some of you don't have air conditioning. You're listening to me right now, and you are burning up right now. Some of you have not recovered from a tornado that you had 3 years ago. Some of you have not recovered from a flood that you had 2 years ago. Canada is still burning up like hell, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And we are getting the smoke burning our lungs worse than cigarette smoke. But everything is hunky-dory in the Prosperity Gospel Church, in the Sweet Evangelical Church. We're doing great. We're having revival, you lying devils. And may God help those of you who promoted a false homosexual-led revival, which is no such thing, just to promote a movie. And I would say it's a decent movie. Could have done better without it, without that lie. Whenever you get Frasier in a movie, you're going to be doing quite well. What's his real name? Say it again? Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. Frasier. A consummate actor. And shame on you for doing that. It's not peace and safety, people. We have more violence now than ever in the history of the world. Way more than Noah's time. Are you kidding me? There's no peace and safety. These are the worst of times. These are not you false prophets and pastors and preachers, the best of times. And thank God for his remnant church, who's telling the truth to people, his remnant preachers and pastors, who are standing strong on the word of God, and who are not falling away. And so, dear friends, let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I do pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your remnant church. Thank you for your 7,000 church. Thank you, Lord, for your faithful few church. And Lord, help us to always be in that number and not fall away from the faith. To not rebel against you with the world, and to stand firm with you until the very end, to endure, as you said, until the end. Save that soul that is near as hell. Reclaim the backslidden. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. For he said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. He said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. And he said the most important words ever said in the history of the world, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." That's the good news. Now let me tell you the bad news that you're facing. Number one, you are a wicked, evil, ungodly sinner, and so am I. We're all in the same boat, red, yellow, black, and white. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bad news number two, we're all going to die because of our sins. What sins, preacher? Sins of lying, sins of dishonesty, sins of stealing and robbing, sins of lusting and coveting from our hearts, people and things, sins of dishonoring and disobeying our parents, sins of dishonoring and disobeying God by taking his name in vain, sins of adultery, having sex with somebody else's spouse, sins of fornication, having sex without the benefit of marriage, not understanding that the marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and whores will be judged, and committing fornication, committing homosexuality, men with men, women with women. Everybody who does these things will go to hell and spend eternity in hell. That's bad news number three. The wages of sin is death. Bad news number two. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bad news number one. Bad news number three is that you're going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ in this life. You will not have a chance in the life to come. There's no vestibule to heaven. There's no limbo. There's no in-between. There's no purgatory. No matter what the Pope says or the Catholic Church says, is up or down, is heaven or hell, is in or out, is sink or swim. There's no in-between, there's no purgatory, no limbo, no waiting area hoping that somebody can pray you out of hell. Nobody can pray you out of hell. Once you go to hell, you will be there forever. By the way, Jesus Christ, the man that hopefully you respect and love and appreciate for all that he's done for this world, such an important man that he split time in half, such an important man that when Walmart was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they were shut down one day out of the year for 24 hours, Christmas. They don't do that for Zeus. They don't do that for other religions. They don't do that for Muhammad or anybody else. But on Christmas Day, Walmart still shuts down. They lose billions of dollars for that one day. They probably lose just as much money as they gain from the Christmas shopping period. Out of respect for Jesus. You need to get to know him. Why? Because he died for our sins that cause hell in this life and hell to come in the next life. You need to believe in him. For Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So believe in him today. The Bible says, "Call upon me and I will answer thee." The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right now, right where you are, you don't have to be in an ornate, beautiful church. I love ornate, beautiful churches, but you don't have to be in one. In fact, I got saved in spite of the church and outside of the church. I didn't join the church, really, as an adult until I got saved outside of the church in my dorm room on Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi, December the 19th, 1979, around 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. And you can get saved right in your bedroom. Some of you are right in front of your cameras doing your podcast and doing your video and doing your live feed. And you took a few minutes off to listen to this poor preacher, and I appreciate it. But you can get saved right where you are. You don't have to be in a church building. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You don't have to sing in the choir to get saved. You don't have to be around hypocrites to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. All of those things are good once you get saved. But they cannot save you. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only belief. A belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, and he'll set your soul free. He'll save your soul from hell and from a sinful life. I guarantee you he will do it based upon his word and based upon my own testimony of my experience with God and with Jesus. You heard my testimony. I'm a living witness. So follow me in the sinner's prayer if you want to get saved from hell. You say, "Well, preacher, I was baptized when I was 12 years old." I was too. Preacher, I joined several churches. In fact, my family were members of 5 churches. I'm the same way. We joined at least 5 churches while I was growing up, and was lost as I could be. Got baptized as a sinner. Went down a wet sinner, went down a dry sinner. Came up a wet sinner. Just as lost as I could be. Baptism didn't change anything. Didn't mean anything to me. That may hurt the feelings of my mom, who's still living, but that's just the reality. That's why I pray for her salvation, because I believe she's stuck in religion. You have family members who are stuck in religion. They're lost as they can be, mean as they can be. You know that. You don't want to be like that. And they are not going to help you get saved because they're not saved. So listen to the truth today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Follow me in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I admit that I am a wicked, evil, and ungodly sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, such as lying, such as stealing, such as lusting in my heart and coveting what other people have and other people. For disrespecting and dishonoring and disobeying my parents. And I've committed the sins of dishonoring your name by taking your name in vain and lying on you to cover my evil and other sins I have committed in your sight. Other commandments that I have broken out of your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who has taken away the sins of the world. Who has taken away the sins of the world, and who has taken away my sins. Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe in you. I believe with all of my heart that you suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. By the power of God. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins and turn from my evil lifestyle and change my life and follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you prayed that prayer in sincerity and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died for your sins in sincerity, according to God's word, you are now saved. And may I say to you, congratulations for doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and praying and asking him to come into your heart to save your soul and to change your life. Now, dear friend, I say to you, congratulations for doing the most important thing in the world. And now I want to give you a free book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. And now by believing in him and praying to him, you have entered through the door. The door of life, Jesus Christ. And I want you to grow in the faith, and so I'm giving you a free book. Go to gospellightsociety.com and tap on the book titled What to Do After You Have Entered Through the Door. You can read it on your device, you can download it, or you can read it right there on the site, and it will give you the next steps you need to take as a new born again Christian. And I want to encourage you to pray every day from now on, read the Bible every day, and you'll grow thereby. And then to help you grow further, on that same site, gospellightsociety.com, tap on the podcasts, Gospel Light Society podcast button, and it will take you to thousands of podcasts dealing with nearly 50 different theological subjects that you can sit back and listen to at any time. The book is free and all of the podcasts are free. And it will take you through the Bible, cover many theological subjects for years to come. And it will help you to grow thereby. So God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us know that you got saved today. And so that we can rejoice with you and pray for you. If you have a special prayer request, send it in. A question, send it in to the same email. dw3@gospellightsociety.com. GLS is another email at gospellightsociety.com. And let us know. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And we will answer any questions that you send us by the grace of God. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, pray for me as I pray for thee. Make sure you pray every day. Read the Bible every day. Meditate on the Bible throughout the day. Pray without ceasing throughout the day. That's what the Bible tells us as Christians to do. And remain faithful unto the end. Endure until the end, Jesus said. And borrow the motto of the Marines, Semper Fi, Delus. Always be faithful to the Lord. And then borrow the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Supra. Always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, and He'll keep you in perfect peace. As the music plays, God bless you, Lord willing. I'll be on these various channels throughout the day, throughout the night, into the wee hours of the morning. Invite your friends. Thank you, the big, over another two times in a row in the one day, 2,135. We thank God for your presence. Thank you so much for your support. And I don't know how to do this, but I give God the glory for you. God bless you, dear friends. Lord willing, I'll see you next time. Blessed be your name. Oh, yes. God bless you, my dear friends on the big. Pray for me as I pray for thee. God loves you and so do I. If you can help this old man improve our outreach on the big, let me know. You know how to let me know. I don't know how to do all of that. I need your help. And may God bless your life. Lord willing, we'll see you next time.
Blessed be your name.